Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 434, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallish. I'm joined today by Ricky Saul from rmstech.repair. How you doing, Ricky?
Good, doing well.
Good to have you on the show. I contacted you probably a few weeks ago, and you said you're fairly new in the business as far as, you know, getting your business started, but something you wanted to kind of come on and share what it is you're doing. And I always said that, you know, people that have information when they're starting up, that's great information to have, because a lot of people want to know, hey, how do I get started? What do I do? But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, basically how you got started in computer repair, and, you know, what makes you tick?
Okay. Well, I got started kind of how I assume a lot of us got started. It started at an early age, you know, got turned on to computers and technology with a hand-me-down computer from my parents. I think I was in second grade. I think it was an HP, some sort of a media computer. I can't remember. But I do know that it was, you know, just placed in me and my brother's room, and it just sat in the corner, not connected to the internet, but I always wanted to play with it. Just took it apart, put it back together. And that's kind of how it started. And it evolved into later on, around like 15, I think I built my first gaming computer. And since I had built it and saved up my money, you know, I pretty much had to provide my own kind of technical support. I couldn't call anybody, you know. So that's where I guess my computer repair techniques kind of started to develop. And I soon became the family's, you know, computer expert or guru.
Right.
So, you know, when I found out that I could make money, you know, people were like, oh, hey, thanks. You know, here's a couple of bucks. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can make a couple dollars doing this. So to fast forward a little bit after high school, going to college and working at a bar, trying to pay my tuition. And I, you know, made up a couple business cards, and I think I was calling myself Certitech back then. So, you know, it kind of sounded certified and real professional, you know.
Nice. And,
yeah. So that kind of helped me get through a good portion of my early college years. And then I ended up stopping for a little while because I met my wife. We got engaged. We were saving for our wedding and our house, and I got a state job. And then just recently, I decided that I was going to get back into computer repair. I never really stopped. I just, you know, kind of slowed down, and I kept up to date. But I figured, you know what, I love this enough, and it's really cool, and let me try to make a business out of it. So in February, I made it official, you know, registered with the state and all that. Now I'm RMS Tech LLC.
Nice. And now, where are you based out of?
Vineland, New Jersey. So South Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, yeah, it's not – now, is there – if you've lived there your whole life?
Yeah, I lived here my whole life.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, that's cool. No, that's a great story. I'm sure there's a lot of things that, you know, I think you're right. A lot of people – or a lot of us, you know, start off by just kind of tinkering and stuff like that. So what kind of made you go back into and say, well, I'm going to do this and make a business out of it? I mean, obviously, you got a state job and, you know, there's a lot of people that would love to have – you know, that type of, you know, a steady job and stuff like that. But I know a lot of times a job, you know, from my standpoint is, especially my type of job, is very boring.
Right.
It's the same old, day in and day out. So I actually find this exercises my brain and able to, be able to do this type of thing. So how about you?
Yeah, I've got to agree with that. I mean, my job can be boring too, my full-time job. But I don't know. You know, I think it was actually at my full-time job when I decided that I wanted to start this business. I work with a few people that I know personally from town, and they always knew that I fixed computers, right? And they turned a couple people on at work to that. So then, you know, out of nowhere, I kind of just a spur of the moment kind of word of the mouth thing. Ended up fixing a handful of computers in a short period of time for people at work, and they were happy with it, and they were asking for business cards, and that's kind of was like, maybe I should make some business cards again and really start to do this. So this time around, though, I was kind of a little more serious with it. So I did a lot of research, you know,
okay,
as far as, you know, how to outline my business, best practices, yada, yada. And then that's actually how I ended up finding the Tech Nibble forums. And then that's how I ended up finding this podcast.
Okay.
And so, I don't know. It was just, I mean, I love doing computer repair, and, you know, people love when I do it for them. So I figured, why not give this a shot, you know?
Oh, absolutely. No, when you can do something that you love to do and you can actually make money at it, that's right. That to me, that's key. That's
yes,
definitely important. Cause I know not everything that I do, do I love.
Right. Yep. I know.
So you said, okay, so you found the Tech Nibble forums, and were you looking for like information on, you know, what other people were doing in their business?
I was just cruising through the forums cause I had, well, it's really easy to tell that a lot of, you know, computer repair technicians and business owners use the forums. So I was cruising through there and reading the articles, because the articles were actually very helpful, you know, as far as different tools, techniques, you know, whatever. And I stumbled across the business kit. And so I picked it up. It was, you know, relatively cheap. So why not? Cruised through all those forums and everything and said, all right, well, I'll use this as kind of my foundation to get started. And little by little, you know, I just went from there.
Yeah, that kit is a great. I got the very first version one of that kit, and it was great. And you know, version two, Bryce Whitty from Tech Nibble really did a bang up job on that and made it even better and cleaner. And I'm actually using even though I have version three, I'm still using the version two, and I was able to take some of that information and compile it together into sheets for myself that would work for my business, which I really liked.
Right. And, you know, to be honest with you, like for me anyway, you know, getting my feet wet with starting a business, because, you know, the nuts and bolts, you know, getting my hands dirty, fixing a computer, I can do that. But running a business, the paperwork, you know, the disclaimers, blah, 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 all that's, I had no idea.
Sure.
And you know what? And if I hadn't found that, I'd be doing some terrible things. You know what I mean? Right now, I just would have I wouldn't have things in place that I really should if I didn't find that kit, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know, because I encourage everybody out there that if you're getting started in this business, or even if you've been in business for a while and you don't have some sort of contracts, work orders, you know, invoicing, whatever, you can, you know, for one flat price, you basically can get it all and, know, have that stuff where you can fill it out on your computer, or you can, you know, print them out and, you know, handwrite on them, or whatever you want to do, however you're running your business. And with the new one, they're all in PDF format.
Yeah, so you can fill them in.
Yep, you can fill them in using a tablet or whatever you have, your phone, and kind of go from there. So, yeah, it's definitely worth the money for that kit.
Yeah, I can tell you firsthand that it's worth it, you know, for anybody who listens to this later, because I had bought it, but I didn't necessarily put it to use right away. And I had started to pick up some work, and prime example of how, you know, why this is so valuable and just so useful. I really wasn't having people sign an intake form, you know, for the first month or so. And it burnt me in the end. It really did, because I ended up having that one client who refused to pay me. And I didn't make her sign any paperwork, you know, agreeing to pay for my work or my services. And ultimately, she walked away with a tablet that was fixed for free, because I couldn't keep it from her. And, you know, I didn't make her sign anything. There was no way for me to prove that I did the work for her. So,
gotcha. Now what did you fix on her tablet?
It was just the display, the digitizer.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you ended up eating not only the time, but the cost in the, whatever the display cost.
Yep.
Now let me ask you a question, because I'm kind of curious. Did you even think about maybe putting the old display back on?
I did. Well, I did, but it was too late, because I had recycled it already. And that's another lesson that I had learned. You know, I mean, I'm kind of learning as I go every day still. Sure. So, yeah.
No, and this is how we learn a lot of times from you know, doing things, making mistakes, and hopefully we learn from, you know, our experiences. But I always say that, you know, experiences are the best teacher, as long as it's somebody else's experience.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have to learn ourselves, and that's just the way it is. And hopefully somebody will listen to this and they can go, hey, I really need to, if I'm getting started or whatever, I really need to get some paperwork in place and kind of protect myself from that. Because I know early on I had a similar issue, except I was using paperwork at the time, really from day one. And I had a laptop that I did a screen repair on, and the guy just never paid me. And finally, I didn't have in my paperwork, though, was how long I would give somebody, how long I would hold on to the device before I sold it. And I had nothing like that in there. So even having the paperwork, I didn't have everything I needed in that contract to say, here's what I'll do. And, you know, after 30 days, it becomes my property or whatever, something like that. So from that experience, even though I was able to keep that computer and sell it and get rid of it and, you know, make my money back on that screen, I learned something from that. So now I added that into my contract. So it's there and says, you know, hey, unless we make prior arrangements, you know, and I'm not a jerk about it, but unless we make prior arrangements, which I will do in special cases, I will, you know, after 30 days, the property becomes mine and I can basically do what I want with it. So,
yeah, same deal. I have that in place now too. So
good. All right. So you just got started back in February. And now what have you been doing? I mean, how have you been advertising your business and, you know, getting the word out there, or is it kind of still word of mouth?
Well, the majority of it's word of mouth. I did run an advertisement in a local paper recently back in May. And I still have yet to see if that actually did well or not. I did get a few phone calls a couple weeks after, but silly me didn't ask where they had found out about my business every time that they had called. So I can't be sure, you know. And then I am researching Google AdWords, trying to get that up and running. So, but basically for the time being, it's a lot of word of mouth right now.
No, and I think that's a good way to go a lot of times, you know, especially, you know, you said this is a part-time business right now and you're going to organically grow it, which is good. And, you know, just take the time and, you know, you're going to learn a lot of things along the way. So, I mean, that's, to me, that's good. You know, I like doing business that way. You don't necessarily need to come out of the gate and, you know, running 100 miles an hour. I think you're doing things, you know, right and taking the time and doing all that. So very cool. So, now, do you work in your local area, or, you know, how far do you go out from for your business?
I do. I will try to stay in my town. There are a few neighboring cities that aren't too much of a, you know, hike for me. Generally, if it's any further than a 15-minute drive one way, I won't go. I just, you know, I like to kind of stay local. I don't want to burn a lot of time on the road. So,
man, I wonder where I've heard that before.
Yeah, I think it's the same deal with you, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's one of those things. I wanted to be able to get to my customers in a short period of time if they needed me. And, you know, I just didn't want to spend all kinds of time on the road driving around. You know what? I figured too, there's enough of us out there that there's plenty of people that you can, you know, have work on your stuff. So I'd rather be the local repair guy.
Right.
You know, in the area. So that's the decision I made, you know. So it works for me, and obviously it's working for you. And
it is. And I mean, I took a job or one or two jobs, you know, where I had to actually travel quite far. I think it was 45 minutes, almost an hour. And then when I got home and after I collected my payment, I really thought about it and the time that I spent on the road as far as how much, you know, billable time I wasted. And then I did the calculations for the gas, and I kind of made just pennies on that repair. So there's that to think about too.
Yep, exactly. No, that's good. You're counting your costs, which I think a lot of people don't realize that there is a cost to doing business, and they don't figure that out right away. And all of a sudden they go, you know, I think we were talking about on our show yesterday that, you know, basically you do your calculations and you go, man, I'm working for $5 an hour.
Yep.
And, you know, when you look at that and it's like, man, that's less than minimum wage.
Yep.
Let me go to McDonald's and make that up right now. You know.
Yeah.
So, no, there's that. So what types of things are, now I know you, I'm looking at your website right now. I know you do mobile repair and different things. So what types of things do you do in your business?
It's a lot of break fix right now. You know, I'm looking in, researching managed services. But it's just, you know, your general break fix stuff. I do a lot of laptop screens. I have a lot of people call me about their phones and tablets, malware removal. Just, you know, it's my customer base right now is just strictly residential for the time being. So it's just, it's a lot of that stuff going on.
Gotcha. Now, as far as, you know, obviously laptop screen repairs, that's always going to be big. But now, as far as the mobile stuff, do you work on all different, you know, types and models?
I generally try to stay within fixing iPhones, so iOS devices or Apple devices, and Samsung devices. So there are a few devices that I will take a, you know, take apart and look at. Just it depends on what it is. You know, I'll do a quick search, and if it's just way too involved and tricky and time consuming, I'll turn it down. So I've got most of the Apple devices and Samsung devices down to a science, so I stick with them.
Gotcha. No, that makes perfect sense. And then do you have a supplier that you get those parts from, or do you kind of pick around?
I do. I use wholesalegadgetparts.com.
Okay.
They've got pretty decent stuff on there, 1-year warranty, and it's relatively affordable. So,
okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Wholesalegadgetparts.com. Okay. And then, so yeah, now, yeah, I mean, you replace charging ports, you know, obviously digitizer mm-hmm. screens, all that kind of stuff. Do you find that Samsung devices are fairly easy to do compared to the iOS devices or the iPhones?
It depends. A lot of the newer ones, the newer Samsung devices, are a lot trickier than the older ones, it seems. But yeah, I would probably prefer to repair a Samsung device over Apple device.
Really? Okay. Interesting. Yeah. No, that's good to know. I've often looked at these things. I had a lady call me today, and she wanted her Kindle fixed. And I said, well, what generation Kindle was it? And she's like, I don't know. And I said, so I asked her, I said, how long have you had it? She's like, oh, 4 or 5 years. Like, well, that sounds like a generation one. I said, to be honest with you, I said, it's going to cost you more. Yep. To have me fix the power jack than it is to buy a brand new one. She's like, really?
Yeah,
I'm exactly. Like, yeah, I charge $125 to do that because it's, you got to desolder and solder the power plug on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I was on Amazon and I said, right now you can get a brand new Kindle Fire HD 7 for $99.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, being as old as that thing is, and I remember having a first gen and they weren't all that great. I said, you'll be much better off with a newer device.
So. Yeah, I tend to do that a lot too. You know, they call me and they want to repair. Of course, I ask them what it is. And then I do this with almost everything that comes across, you know, my table. If whether it's a laptop or a phone or whatever, if it's going to cost them more for me to fix it for them, I'll tell them, you know.
Right.
Like, you know, I can't take people's money like that. I just, right. You know, I think it's worth more to me and the customer for me to say, hey, listen, take your money, go buy something new. You know, I think they would appreciate that more than me charging them for, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. So the other thing she has is she wanted to get her Kindle fixed first. So I sent her off with that. But she also has a laptop with a power charging problem. So
right.
She's going to bring that to me at the beginning of the month. And, you know, I'm gonna work on that and fix that. So, it you know, I don't need to make money on every single thing that comes across, just, you know, especially if it's not in the best interest of the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I really try to help people out. So
right.
Now, I know I've had – now, you don't do iPods or anything like that, do you?
I did an iPod Touch once, and I remember you, I think, saying something about this too. But I'll never do an iPod Touch again. Yeah. It was terrible. I don't understand. You would think, okay, it's an iPod Touch. It's probably going to be similar to doing an iPhone, you know, but it's not. I can't tell you how long it took me. It was ridiculous.
Oh, thank God I'm not the only one. Okay.
No, you're not. Yeah, so I probably had a handful of calls since the beginning of the year for them, and I've said, no, sorry, don't fix them.
Now, you know what's nice about the phones, though, or nice and wrong, I guess, at the same time, is, you know, you get a phone on a contract and you get it for a couple $100, right, or maybe $100 mm-hmm. or something. But if you break that phone or break that screen, in order to go get a new one that's off contract, you know, you're looking at $500, $600, $700.
Yep.
So a lot of times to fix those screens, even though it's going to cost, you know, $100, $150, whatever it is, to fix those screens, depending on what it is. I mean, a lot of times to the customer, that's well worth it.
Right. Surprisingly, I have to explain that to a lot of people who call in because I've got quite a few people that when I give them my price, you know, I mean, the display might be $50 and then right. my labor on top might be another 50. So it's going to cost around 100 ballpark, depending on what phone you have to fix it. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and then they hang up, click. And sometimes they don't understand. Oh, well, I got the phone for $100 or $200. I understand that, but that's not what it's worth, you know?
Right.
So.
No, and we have the same problems even when, you know, people are buying inexpensive laptops. Or what I like to call cheap laptops.
Yes.
You know, they're very plasticky and, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, their hinges break or something. They're like, hey, can you do anything with this? I'm like, yeah, we can replace the whole top cover, which will be $100 plus my labor. And yeah. you're looking at $189. Well, I paid $300 for it.
Uh-huh.
Well,
uh-huh.
go buy a new one.
Yep. That's how it is.
So it's hard sometimes, but you know, it's like, it's certain things I'm not going to, you know, take the time to pull apart. If it's going to take me more time than what it's worth, it's just, and especially if there's a chance that I might destroy something, you right. know, crack a digitizer or whatever, and then you eat the cost on that. And it's like, you just lost your time and the cost of, you know, making any money on that device.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you've got to awful. Definitely stay with your strong suits.
Yep.
So as far as like a malware removal and stuff now, I noticed you call it malware mitigation, which I like on your website.
Yeah, I made it sound real fancy, you know. I thought that would make me look more impressive. So.
Not I get rid of your viruses, but I mitigate them. I like
yes.
that. No, it is catchy and it definitely is a it draws your eye to it. So
yeah.
Now, as far as doing that type of stuff, are you finding that you're able to, you know, take care of most viruses and malware and stuff like that? Or are you, you know, are you having to do nuke and paves or?
When I first started to do computer repair kind of unofficially for money, when I was Certitech, I would do a lot of nuke and paves because I really didn't know any better. You know,
okay.
It's just, that's what I would do on my system. But, as I kind of developed or matured, I guess, as a tech and learned different techniques and tools that I could use, I don't do any nuke and paves. It's rare. I can't tell you the last time that I have. I prefer not to because, I mean, it's a little inconvenient for the customer because now all the things are out of place and their favorites are lost and all their, you know, shortcut desktops or desktop shortcuts and everything are all gone. And, you know, that sometimes means a lot to certain customers. So I try to avoid that as much as possible.
Well, you know, and the other thing is too, it's like it takes forever to do those
things.
It
does. It does.
I was just talking to somebody about this and I said, you know, I said I was using WSUS Offline Updater where you can download all the Windows updates and basically, right. You know, on a hard drive or whatever, plug it into a computer and, you know, update the computer from there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were saying, oh, you can slipstream this and that and the other. And I go, yeah, you can, except if depends on whether I have an Acer or an HP or a Dell.
Exactly.
Because I'm dealing with a lot of OEM hardware.
Yes.
And so it's tough. And I'm like going, and here's the thing, you know, I've got a pretty fat pipe going up and down here right. for my internet. And it is not any faster using the WSUS updater. I don't get it. It's like, it's still, yes, you set it and forget it, but you know, and it does restart itself and do what it needs to do, but it still takes forever.
Yeah. I've had the same experience. Cause I was trying to make a couple, images just to have laying around. And it was a few months ago that I had started playing with that offline updater and I had reformatted my computer and use the offline updater, and I really didn't notice any kind of time saving there. It still took quite a while.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those things. I just, you know, I know some people, you know, will use it, and they, you know, maybe it's a convenience, or I think a lot of people will use it. Maybe they have it on a server, and they can push it out to several machines at one time, which
yeah.
that would be a beneficial use. But
right.
when you're just doing a 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, to me, it's just like, yeah, I just click the up, you know, Windows update and mm-hmm. let it do its thing.
Yep.
Or if I, you know, want to pay my son, you know, to push the button, you know,
there you go.
He'll do that in the middle of his video game or whatever. So
that works.
All right. So, so virus mitigation, that's good to hear that. Yeah, I think we all get better over time. And I think mm-hmm. really, we all started off the same way as basically, you know, doing nuke and paves and, it's just, you know, it's one of those things that at the time I didn't mind spending 13 hours setting my computer up like I used to have it, you know?
Right.
Now I do. I don't have.
Don't want to be bothered, and your time is important. You know, I feel you.
So what are some of your, let's say, what are some of your favorite tools, software, or hardware that you use on a regular basis?
Well, I'm a big fan of RepairTech's Tech Wall Room. They're kind of Tech USB suite.
Okay.
I wasn't really using a whole lot of tools before I had found them. Just, I mean, Malwarebytes, HerdProtect, RKill, just your basic collection of tools that I think almost everybody uses. I was using them, manually. And then I think it was on the TechNibble website that I had come across RepairTech. And as soon as I had found that, that's all I use. I, you know, create my preset and I run it and that's it.
Nice. Okay. Very good. Yeah, it's a great tool. It's, you know, again, it's one of those set it and forget it, and you know, you right. can go on your business and it'll create you a nice report and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, are you still doing a lot of manual stuff as far as, you know, for your, you know, financials and stuff like that? Or do you have an invoicing system or anything that you're using?
I use Repair Shopper.
Okay, great.
And that is awesome. I've demoed a handful of other CRMs or ticketing systems after I found Repair Shopper, and nothing really comes close. It's just, it's perfect in a nutshell. I mean, it does everything.
Yeah, one of the things I really is they are geared towards the computer repair field.
Yes, yes.
And that to me right there makes a huge difference, because I can have a generic system that I can use and it's you know, kind of sort of will do what it needs to do, but I like to have the you can do it as granularly as you want to. You can do as much as you want, have as much detail, or you can just do it very limited. It all depends on how you want to do. Now, I'm a detail-oriented person, so I like to have the detail so that if it... Because here's what happens. It's not like I have this huge customer base, but somebody literally will call me back 8 months later, and they go, hey, remember you fixed this machine? And mm-hmm. I go, yeah, in my head, I'm really thinking... You know, of course I tell them, oh, yeah, you know, and then right. I've got to go quickly on my computer and look them up. Because to be right. honest with you, once I fix your machine, if you're not an ongoing customer for something else, I'm not going to remember your name.
Same thing. I forget. As soon as I'm paid and, you know, that's it, I kind of forget about you. I mean, it's, you know, it's not that I don't like you. It's just.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know.
Yeah.
And then not only that, even if you remember the person, you're not necessarily going to remember exactly what you worked on for them.
Yeah.
You know, I get my exactly. jobs mixed up all the time. So it's like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, you did this for me. Yeah. Oh, you know, so it's nice to be able to look that information up in Repair Shopper and just go, oh, yeah, fixed. Yeah, here's the machine. Here's a model number, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I did. Here's all my notes. And, yeah. you know, it takes seconds to look it up, and it really helps.
Yeah, the asset tracking is great. I've been printing out labels for my, you know, especially laptops, customer labels.
Okay.
With the barcodes. So eventually I plan on getting a little barcode reader, and that should be able to help with the workflow when I get repeat customers. You know, boop, scan it, should bring it up in the Repair Shopper. So,
yeah, well, I'll tell you one of the things. Now, I'm still a little old school, and a lot of people know this. I've probably said this on many shows, but I mm-hmm. still use the paper. If you're a first time customer, I actually manually have you fill out the paper right. with all your information and read and sign the back with a pen. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in my system, if you come back, I'll basically pull you up on my phone and just have you jot your digital signature on my phone, giving me once again permission to work on your machine. So
right, yeah.
That seems to work best for me, but I still, for whatever reason, still love to have that initial paper copy.
Paper copies are nice. I do like pen and paper. I'm trying to go paperless, though. I mean, it's just, I don't know, keep track of all that stuff. For me anyway, you know, I kind of unorganized, to be honest. So trying to go paperless just for the sake of it being easier to organize everything.
Gotcha. Now, when you first got started in this business, let's talk a little bit. You talked about USB or Tech USB. And TechWaru, and then the hardware that you started off with. I mean, did you just, you know, already have screwdrivers and stuff laying around, or what types of things did you start collecting from the beginning to start working on machines?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm kind of a computer enthusiast, so I have a, you know, I'm a computer gamer. So I've always, you know, since I had built my first computer, I just had continued to build every computer I've ever owned ever since then. So at some point, I couldn't tell you when, I had invested in, I guess, a computer repair, you know, toolkit that I think I had bought off Newegg quite some time ago. So it had your basic different bits and everything. And that's what I've been using. And then over time, I've collected neat little things like power supply testers and whatnot. So,
oh, very cool.
Yeah,
no, that's cool. Yeah, a lot of times you have this stuff laying around. If you're already kind of doing stuff for yourself, you're going to have a handful of tools. And really, a lot of times that's all you need to start. But yeah, those you know, those kits, you know, I've seen them, you know, on Newegg. I've seen them at Micro Center. Yeah. iFixit's got a really nice, you know, pro toolkit. It's a little
I
more
think
on
I the, have that one too. Yeah.
Okay. It's a little more on the pricey side, but the quality compared to the other cheaper kits is night and day different. So,
yes, absolutely.
And I believe all the bits have a lifetime warranty with those guys. And so if you guys have ever used, you know, I've always had higher end screwdrivers, but if you've ever used like a inexpensive screwdriver and tried to pull a, you know, little tiny screw out and you end up stripping, you know, the screw because the screwdriver's kind of doesn't fit right. You know, that makes a big difference. So
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, you don't really need much to start off. So now, as far as, you know, other software and stuff like that, were you using any rescue CDs or anything like that in your business?
In the past, I was a big fan of Hiren's boot CD. I haven't used that in a while. I haven't really been using too many boot CDs lately. I think the last live boot or rescue CD that I had used was Nopix. I was using it for, and it just, it was, you booted up the disk and it ran Nopix in a preboot environment. It was just a version of Linux. And I think I'd used it for some data recovery, but yeah, okay. I don't really play with them too much anymore.
That's cool. Yeah, no, I haven't used, I hadn't used any, you know, rescue CDs, so to speak, or repair CDs up until last week. I actually had to use it on two different machines. So that was interesting.
Okay.
Same type of thing. I had to back up the data on a computer that basically was caught in a reboot loop. So, or not a, you know, it's actually a repair boot loop. And yeah, had to get in there and get the stuff out. So, because when I really started messing with it, it kind of got messed up. Anyways,
yeah,
that stuff happens, but it's all in fun. So you said you started getting business cards and stuff for your business. You know, do you hand those out kind of where you go, or?
I do. I, you know, I always have a box, like I have a box in my truck, so I always make sure that I carry them with me. But, you know, when I'm finished a repair, I hand out a couple with the invoice or with the receipt just so they can pass it out to friends. And then I kind of bring them wherever I am. And when I find opportunities, I'm talking to new people. I just pass it out.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. It's always good to have that stuff on hand to, you know, be able to pass out to people. And yeah, I do the same type of thing. You know, pass out a couple of business cards after you do a repair. And, you know, a lot of times people will ask you for them anyways, and they'll pass them along. So,
yeah, the majority of the time it's because people are asking me for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. So have you had anything that's been in the shop that, you know, kind of was a head scratcher that you're sitting there going, man, I really can't figure this out. And maybe you were able to find something, you know, in the TechNibble forums or, you know, on one of the shows or something like that, that kind of helped you, or you just, you know, you ended up giving up on it or anything like that?
As far as like really technical or weird things, a few months ago I had ran a tune-up and a malware removal on the client's computer, and they were trying to install a piece of software. I think it was Dragon, naturally speaking, the voice recognition software.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, they couldn't get it to install. So they asked me. I said, yeah, sure, I'll try. I mean, how hard could it be? I had the computer for like 2 days, you know, just nonstop trying to install it, would get this error that I had no idea what it meant. And when I searched for it, there was no reference for what it meant. And you don't think that installing software would ever be an issue for the most part, you know, but this was, and I don't know what it was. I couldn't figure it out, but I ended up giving it back, and I said, you know, I can't figure it out right now. You know, I'm researching this issue for you, and it seems to be common, because it was common with the version that they were installing on their operating system. I said, it seems to be a common issue, so, you know, I'll keep on top of it, and if anything develops, if there's a solution, I will surely let you know. And, you know, just staying on top of it and doing searches every now and then for it. I did find someone who had posted a help article on their website, Nuance, the people who make the software, and, you know, just kind of went from there and was able to install it.
Okay. Well, what was the fix?
It was, there was, if you had a previous version of this software installed, there were a whole mess of folders and files left over in the app data folder that were kind of hard to find. And you wouldn't think to look there because, I mean, obviously I didn't. And I think there were a few of them that you couldn't delete. You had to have elevated permissions. So that's what it was, just to really to clear out the app data folder. And then we were able to install it.
That's interesting because I had a situation where after my computer messed up a few months back, and basically my Acronis software was still working. It was still making backups and stuff for me on a regular basis, but I couldn't search inside the file folders anymore like I could in the past.
Oh.
And so Acronis basically gets on my computer for about an hour and a half. First time technician goes through all the things that I've already done. And, you know, even though I told him, I gave him detailed information, told him I was, you know, a technician, I do this stuff all the time, and basically couldn't solve the problem, said I have to elevate it. So they got back to me the next week, and a higher level technician got on for another hour and a half and used all these kind of weird tools for getting into registry and basically deleting registry files, which I was really trying to figure out why they needed a piece of software in order to do that.
Yeah.
And so by the time they got done, they still couldn't solve the problem. And they're like, we need to create a log file. Okay. So they create a 9 gigabyte log file.
What could possibly be in a 9 gig log file?
I have no idea. But they ran a little tool. It downloaded, you know, 9 gigs of stuff. I had to sit there and zip it for them. And then, you know, FTP it up to their server, and I did that, and basically they got the information, they looked through there, they go, oh yeah, it's there's definitely some corruption in the system, and you know, we need to figure that out and blah blah blah. And so after watching the second technician kind of root around on my computer for an hour and a half, I said, you know what, let me try something. So I basically used Revo Uninstaller.
Okay.
And ran Revo Uninstaller and uninstalled Acronis again with the, you know, the highest level that you possibly could rip everything out. And I noticed the two registry keys that they never even looked at. And so it pulled out those registry keys and, you know, whatever else it pulled out. And I basically restarted my system, reinstalled Acronis, made my backups, and lo and behold, I was able to look inside the files.
Well, there you go.
And I was like, are you kidding me? So I emailed them back and said, never mind. I fixed the problem myself. It's all good. And so they had the audacity to actually email me back and go, well, could you let us know how you fixed that so we can add it to our process in the future?
That's what I thought they would ask.
So, and my wife was kind of laughing because she was like, you didn't email back, did you? I said, yeah, I did. I'm not that much of a jerk, but I emailed him back and I said, well, I used Revo Uninstaller and, you know, it pulled out a couple of registry files that were missed and basically, was able to reinstall it and it worked no problem. And it was took me 5 minutes and they were like, and I said, they said something about, you know, handing it out to the developers or something like that to let them know. And I said, what I would recommend is that you have an uninstall tool. I would recommend you see what Revo Uninstaller actually is uninstalling, and then add that to your uninstall tool, which should have done this job in the first place.
Right.
And so, you know, obviously, I mean, I was a little snarky with that, but they sent email back. Well, glad everything worked out. Can we close this ticket now? I said, yes, close the ticket. So yeah, that's something that you think all the time that, you know, higher level engineers and technicians should be able to, you know, get in there and figure this stuff out. But really what it comes down to is it comes down to troubleshooting skills. And I think as technicians, that's what a lot of us have, is we have these troubleshooting skills. And it's how do you get around whatever problem you're seeing? Because a lot of times there's not just a process that you can open up a spreadsheet and go, did you do this? Did you do that?
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't work like that. So,
yeah, we all fix computers. I was just thinking about this earlier today. You know, like we all fix computers, but at the end of the day, we're really just problem solvers. we solve problems to provide solution, you know, for our customers. So
absolutely. That's excellent. Yeah. Excellent thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very cool. So, let's see, what haven't we touched on? So we touched on some of your favorite tools, software, hardware. What are some of your business tips that have worked for you or maybe haven't worked for you that you would say, you know, stay away from these or, you know, definitely do these. I think we talked about, you know, a couple in the beginning with the TechNibble business kit.
Right. Well, you know, being so new into business ownership or entrepreneurship, don't undersell yourself. I used to do that a lot, especially back when I was Certitech doing this unofficially. I was so worried with being the cheapest on the block and being cheaper than everybody else and, you know, having people come to me and flock to me because I was so cheap. I thought that was, you know, the way to go. And it brought me customers. It brought me people who wanted to have their machines fixed or whatever. But at the same time, you know, I would put a lot of time into certain projects or repairs and walk away with $30. And that's, right. At the end of the day, that's not worth it. You know, I had to get over the whole nice guy thing. You know, I like to think that I'm generally a nice guy and sometimes I might be too nice, you know, you know what I mean?
And yep. So
I would feel bad in the beginning, I would think to myself, you know what, it would make sense to charge this much and it would be really nice to get paid that much. But I feel bad asking for that much. So I wouldn't. I had to get over that. So don't undersell yourself. You know, I think you had mentioned before, which had really actually helped me get over this and like it hit home for me. I think you had said something before along the lines of like people attach a higher level of service with, you know, a higher charge sometimes. You know, if they had to compare the two and they saw somebody who was dirt cheap and then they saw somebody who had a, you know, a nice t-shirt on with their logo and they charged, you know, whatever amount more, you know, they're going to think, oh, this guy over here charges a little more. He probably does a better job, you know, so.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine from Canada and mm-hmm. I won't tell you which friend. I have more than one just in case okay. anybody wants to know out there. But anyways, no, it was Corey Fruitman from Instant House Call and we were talking about, you know, market value in certain areas and he is around Toronto.
Right.
And Toronto is this, you know, is a pretty big hub with a lot of people. And he basically said that, you know, we're talking about pricing and he said anything under $80 for a service fee, he wouldn't even look at.
Okay.
You know, he said probably more of the range would be the, you know, $80 to $120 range for service.
Okay.
And so, and I, you know, and it's hard for people to get over that and go, well, I'm not going to have any business. Well, it's like, no, you're not going to, it's not that you're not going to have any business. It's just, you're going to have only certain types of business.
Right.
And exactly. That's okay. You know?
And yeah. And that's so true. And, you know, I kind of like, even when I had just gotten started officially with becoming, you know, owning a business back in February, which is only a few short months ago, even then I had, you know, came into the game or started with prices that were lower than what they are now. And, you know, I can tell you from my experience in only a couple months that, you know, I prefer the customers that I get now charging what I do than the customers that I did back then when I charged pennies pretty much. You know, I mean, it's the people who really want their computers fixed or really want any kind of technology solution, they're willing to pay the money if they want it done. They're going to pay you, you know. So I don't know. I can't stress enough for people who listen to this podcast who are thinking about getting started. Don't undersell yourself, you know, charge for what you're worth and take it from there.
It, you know, and the other thing too, is it's always a little bit harder to raise your prices and you got to think about that. So
it is, it can be. I mean, fortunate for me, like I was just getting started. So it's not like I had a whole giant, you know, client customer base or whatever, where I was all of a sudden raising the prices on them. I just had a handful of people at the time. So,
well, and I don't know that I've ever told this exact story, but I've lived in different areas in Michigan and I had started my business. I was on the east side of the state and I had a very good business going. I had, you know, representatives and stuff from the, you know, you know, local house and stuff like that actually coming to my house. Okay. And I was repairing their machines and stuff, and you know, I had plenty of business. But I wanted to move back closer to my, basically my day job, and move right. towards the middle of the state. So I did. And so right. I had to leave all those customers over on that side of the state. But what I had done, even though back then I was charging $79 flat rate fee, and this was in 2010, when I moved back over here in like 2011, end of 2011, mm-hmm. almost 2012, I didn't start my business up until probably March of 2012. But okay. in that, I had actually started looking at my prices, and even though this was a, you know, similar area to where I was, for whatever reason, I decided to charge $50 for virus removals. Now, I know okay. some people out there charge that, and that's perfectly fine if that's what's working for you, mm-hmm. but as a secondary income, I just couldn't justify the amount of time it was taking me to fix those machines at the time. For the amount of money, you know, by the time you're paying taxes and, you know, advertising costs and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, I'm working out of my home. I don't really have a store that people can drive by and all that kind of stuff. So for me, right. I had to charge more because it was worked, you know, in my situation, that's what was going to make it worth it. Well, I had lowered my prices, I think, to $69. Mm-hmm. And I think that was my flat rate fix, and then I was $50 for virus removals. And here's the thing. What I noticed was, yes, I got a lot of business. I was spending a lot of time and not making a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I moved my prices back up to an $89 flat and $80 an hour on site. And I have a ton less work, but I'm actually making more money than I was.
Yes, I've kind of noticed the same thing. Like, you know, I did a lot of work when I was doing $30, $50 repairs or whatever before I officially.
Seriously, $30? You
know, yeah, it was bad. I'm telling you.
We've all done it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. All done it.
And yeah, I had a lot of work, but, you know, or a decent amount of work for what I thought at the time. But I have noticed that now that, you know, I stopped underselling myself and, you know, I charge more money. I might do less work sometimes, but I still make more money, I think, than I did back then, you know? So.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times, you know, especially if you're doing this, you know, business on the cheap and you're not, you know, if you're doing it under the table mm-hmm. and you're not paying your proper taxes and all that kind of stuff, then, you know.
Yeah, that too. That was another thing, because now that I have registered with my state and, you know, all that good stuff, I have to pay taxes. So you that does have to be factored in, you know.
Right. You know, because I don't know what it's like there, but, you know, we pay 15% self-employment tax here on our business. So it's a pretty hefty chunk when you're thinking about it. So yeah. $30 repair wouldn't really cover a whole lot.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And that's the other reason too. I still think my prices are fair for the area, and because I stick to my local area and I don't travel out, I can afford to maybe be a little bit cheaper than some of the others, but not by much. You know,
right? That's kind of the same deal with me. You know, I'm not necessarily expensive. I'm still well under the big box store around the corner, but you know, it's a fair price for my area too. So,
and you know, the other thing too is I've thought about, you know, charging on-site prices and charging flat fees. To be honest with you, the reason I charge a flat fee is because that flat fee is covering you bringing it to me. And so right. when I charge you a flat fee, you're bringing it to me, you're coming to pick it up. So I can have it sitting on a bench with other machines and doing other things while, you know, whatever program or whatever I have working on at the time is just chunking away. It's not always, you know, time on keyboard or time, you know, tearing it apart or whatever. So that makes it much more viable for me with a full-time job to be able to do that versus, you know, traveling around and stuff like that. So that's one of the reasons I do that. And it's funny, the reason I came up with my hourly rate on site was because I'd caught myself when I was charging a flat rate in the beginning, sitting on site for way too long.
And oh, I do that. I'm such a bad, I do that too often. I know exactly what you mean.
So I would sit on site, and this happened to me one time, and then I had a revelation. It wasn't that long ago, actually. It was probably last year. And I sat on site doing a, I was working on a computer, and it was an older Vista computer, and I was doing the service pack updates, which had never been done. And if you guys remember the service pack updates for Vista, they take forever.
Yes.
Just to install. Not even, I already have them downloaded. Just to install, they take forever. Mm-hmm. And so I actually sat on site for 6 hours over a 2-day period. And this was before I started doing any remote support or anything like that. And I got paid $99. And I just looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I said, what was I thinking? So
yes.
After that revelation, here's what I did. So I got remote support software. And what I will do now is if I do come on site, it's $80 an hour. So it's $80 for the first hour. It's $20 trip charge.
Okay.
So I charge. So it's basically you're going to pay $100 for the first hour. And then if it goes past into the second hour, I let the customer know we can do one of two things. If you absolutely want me to stay on site, we can do that. And you'll pay my $80 an hour rate. Or I can remote into this machine, go back to my office and finish it up because I've already gotten it to a point where I can finish it up remotely. It's not a big deal. You know, or if worst case scenario, if it's still not fixable on site, which usually you can tell within 5 to 10 minutes whether it's going to be or not. And what a lot of times I'll do is I'll say, you know what, I'll take it back and fix it in my shop. And then what I'll do is I'll bring it back to you, set it up for you. And then what I do is I charge $20 each way for the trip charge. So $40 plus the $89 flat or you know, at that point. But so it makes it nice where the customer can kind of have some adjustment there to, you know, what they get charged, you know, because obviously there's some computers, especially if you're talking about the medical industry and stuff like that, or even a lot of offices are weird about, you know, their computers leaving the office. Mm-hmm. So they're like, no, it's got to stay here. And that's fine. You know, but I really, for residential customers, most of the time people will go, oh yeah, you can just take it. Or you can finish it up. Right.
Yeah.
So no, that's, it's fun, but you know, these things are things that we learn, and you learn what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do in your business, and kind of you know, make it better for yourself, make it better for your customer. So all right, well, is there any other parting tips of wisdom that you'd like to bestow on us?
Yeah, sure. You know, if this is something you really want to do, I you know, go for it, especially if you have, I don't have all the time in the world. Like, you know, like I was saying earlier, I do this part time. So my free time off of my, you know, when I'm not at my full-time job, this is when I run my business. So little by little, start it up, you know, that's what I've done. And, if you have a passion for fixing computers and you're a generally kind of social person, I think you can do well. And there's so many resources out there to use, you know, just at your fingertips. I can't slap, you know, a price tag on this podcast. For one, you know, the TechNibble forums and their business kit. A lot of my business practices, my techniques, a lot of the tools that I use, a lot of my ideas have all come from these resources, from your show, you know. So that would probably be my biggest tip to people getting started. Start listening to these podcasts, listen to all the old ones, cruise through the TechNibble forums. There's a lot of people out there who are like you or like me, just getting started, and they have, you know, stories to share or tell.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely appreciate that, because, that is a, you know, pat on my back when somebody says, you know, they're learning something from this show, because that's really what we do here, is we want to get that information out to people. And, not that you're going to use every idea that comes across these podcasts, but there's enough ideas out there that, you know, you might pick up one or two things that you use in your business. And I think you hit it on the head, Ricky, is that, you know, you basically, you can start off slow. You can do mm-hmm. this with a full-time job, and you don't have to go gangbusters right away. You can kind of set yourself up and really learn, you know, take that time to learn and get better at your craft and, you know, get a better understanding and just find out what other people are doing out there. So
I
definitely appreciate that, that you and hopefully others are getting something out of this show. So that makes me feel good. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, how long have you been listening to this show?
Probably the better part of a year. I just picked it up about this time last year, you know, when I was really starting to have ideas of starting my business. And I think, again, a lot of the things that I found were from Tech Nibble. I think I found the podcast through Tech Nibble. So,
okay. Yeah, I think there's a lot of cross-platform going back and forth. So, Bryce has been on a couple podcasts with us, and we've talked to him. And I think a lot of people that are in this industry kind of go between Tech Nibble and the different podcasts, the Mike Tech Show. And
I just recently started listening to him.
Yeah, excellent show. Tech Vets, you get, Geeksters, they talk about geeky stuff and, different things like that. So, there's definitely a lot of good information out there. And what's wonderful is from podcasts is, especially working a full-time job, I've got the ability to basically throw an earbud in and, be able to listen to these podcasts. And I always, it doesn't matter what show it is, I always pick up a nugget or two from each and every show. Mm-hmm. And it gives me an idea for my business and how I can move it forward or maybe how I can change something to make it better.
Yeah, exactly. Because, we might... I thought I was, I thought I knew everything. I thought I was the smartest computer guy in the world. But then I started listening to your show and I was like, there's a lot of things I don't know, So yeah, there's a lot to learn,
There's always one thing to be said is for sure. I can tell you that I always learn something new. I will never stop learning. And that's really what it comes down to. So,
yep.
Very cool. Well, Ricky, I appreciate you coming out and, sharing with us today. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to do that?
Probably via email, ricky@rmstech.repair.
All right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming out and sharing with us today. Like I said, it was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. All right, you guys can find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show like Ricky, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. If you want to leave a voicemail, you can call 1-888-697-0162. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork like we were talking about earlier to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the Tech Nibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. If you guys could do us a great big favor and leave us a rating and review over on iTunes, that would help more people learn about this show so that we can help others out there. You guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank all of you that do that. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.